Thank you for joining us for this preview episode of 900 Views. I'm with entrepreneur, lawyer, musician, recording label founder of Station One, Toby Parks. And among the many activities that Toby's done that you'll hear about is taking music into the parks, not the downtown parks, but out and about and around. Can you tell us a little bit, Toby, why that was a community builder for you?
In part, it goes back to the time that I spent in New York City in the summer, in that every park in New York City has music all summer long. And, you know, I miss that. I miss being able to go to my neighborhood park and see music, you know, just there. And so there was that. And then there was the other thing that I noticed in Des Moines, that so much of the arts and culture stuff that was happening in the city was happening downtown, which is amazing and it's wonderful. And I know it was a very long road to get there. But I think in order to have Des Moines be the sort of music city that we want it to be and the arts and culture hub that we need it to be, we need to incorporate all communities. And so specifically, one of the things that I had participated in is one of the focus groups, I guess is what you want to call it, for the
Capitol. For Bravo.
For Bravo, yeah. And one of the things that had come up in that point is we were sitting in the Highland Park neighborhood doing one of the discussions, and somebody had brought up about how, you know, there are people that are sitting in Highland Park who can literally look downtown, they can see the sculpture park, they can see all of these things that are happening, but totally feel left out and isolated from that.
Ouch.
For, you know, any number of reasons. And, you know, but also when they look at the arts and culture in their own neighborhood, you know, they turn around and they see that, you know, one of the few sculptures that they have which I think it's actually really kind of cool, but they have these, you know, they've built these little mesh things that they're stuffed with plastic bags, you know,
and that's the
art that is in those neighborhoods. And I thought, you know, one thing that is important to me about living in Des Moines is wanting to, you know, going from a city that's so diverse and so eclectic as New York, and moving to a place, moving to Des Moines, which just by, you know, sheer numbers, you know, it's a very predominantly white community.
More homogeneous.
And wanting, you know, really missing a lot of that diversity, and not just from, you know, seeing other faces that look like mine, but also a diversity of music and what's being presented here. And so what we wanted to do was say, you know what, let's go into those communities. Let's go into communities that traditionally are left out of the arts and culture conversation. And let's bring in artists that traditionally don't see Des Moines as a market that might be viable for them. Because there are, you know, and that goes both ways in the sense of, you know, I think that people look at Des Moines and they, you know, they see it as, you know, the Midwest, and they see it as a predominantly white community, and thinking like, well, all they listen to is, you know, country music and Americana or something, you know, and that's absolutely not true. There is actually quite a bit of diversity in Des Moines, and there's diverse tastes and diverse styles. And we wanted a lot of the booking agents and a lot of the artists to see Des Moines as being viable. So we're like, you know, the best way to do that is bring them here, let them see what can be, and maybe the next time that they're planning their tour, they'll contemplate coming to Des Moines instead of skipping over it and just doing Minneapolis and going straight to Kansas City or something. And so that's what we want to do. And then to also bring it into the communities that sometimes feel left out of that conversation. So the first year we did it, we were at, we did Good Park, that's just right up the street. And then we did MLK Park, Stewart Square Park, and then we've always done Greenwood Park. And I'll say that Greenwood Park is not a park that's left out of the arts and culture question, but from the moment that I came to Des Moines, I went and I saw the amphitheater that's there.
Yeah, it's got a nice venue.
Yeah, and it's gorgeous. And, you know, the only thing I ever see, that I live not that far from there, and every time I was in the park, the only thing I ever saw there were people doing wedding photos. You know, it's like, this is crazy that there's this beautiful venue and there's not music there more often. And, you know, I was told that, you know, many moons ago, there was like a jazz series or something that had been there.
Yeah, Jazz in July.
Yeah, but we really wanted to bring music back to that stage. And it's just a beautiful environment. And I think that it also can be kind of the gateway to folks who may not know where MLK Park is. That's like, oh, I've seen this concert in my neighborhood, and maybe I will now make the trek over to MLK or look up and find where that park is and actually go and see it. And I think, and it's just great too, like, to get people outside and to enjoy the, you know, we partner with Des Moines Parks and Rec, And so it really just gets people out and enjoying the parks in ways that they may not otherwise. And it's just been a lot of fun.
What's the role of the suburbs in all of this?
You know,
she smirked at me when I asked that question.
No. Well, you know, and I think that it's just about trying to get things to get them here, you know? And I think that it's, you know, some of those things like, you know, MLK Park is not that far, I guess, from the, well, I guess, I don't know if it's the bridge to Ankeny or something, yeah. But, you know, it's not that far. But if we can get people to see that there's maybe music that's interesting there, then maybe they'll make that little extra trek. We were just actually having a conversation about the work that we're doing with Station One and with XBK about, I think a lot of people don't promote to the suburbs, you know? I don't know, you know, and I'll go out to, well, admittedly, I don't get to the suburbs that often unless my kids are like, you know, playing a basketball game or something. But when I do go there, I don't see show posters for what's happening at Vaudeville Muse and the coffee shops out there, you know? So we have to get out there and target them too, you know, because if they don't know what's going on, then they're not going to want to come into the city.
So well, that's a really fair point. I just realized last time I did a live thing at Mainframe, I took all my flyers around downtown. I never took them out to the suburbs.
Yeah. And so
is that fair?
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, and it's also, you know, I mean, there's a fair point of saying like, okay, well, it's easy to just go down to the East Village and then you can walk around and put them up. And, you know, it's like, where do you go in Waukee to put up posters? You know, we're not really sure. And it might take a little bit of work to try and figure that out. But I was also talking with somebody just today. I was having a meeting with somebody about how do we engage youth in live music culture too? Because, you know, when I was growing up, you know, I was always looking for my tribe. Like I grew up in rural Southeast Missouri and you know, I wanted to go somewhere. There was no live music venue in my small town, you know, so I'd go to St. Louis to see shows and I met people there. And that's how I met a lot of my really dear friends and got ensconced in the music community. And I think that with what goes on today, and I don't want to be like, oh, those young people, but you know, I think of my own kids and, you know, they'll spend an hour a day playing Fortnite with a friend in, you know, Europe, which is great and amazing in and of itself, but they're finding their tribe online. They're not actually physically going places to find their tribe. And, you know, how do we're going to lose our live music culture if we can't engage those folks to get them to put down the Xbox or to put down the iPad and to actually go and experience live music instead of just watching YouTube videos. And so he and I were having a discussion about what can we do to change that and how can we engage those students. And I think a lot of it has to do with those kids in the suburbs that, you know, that, you know, when you're in close proximity to arts and culture stuff, you know, we live just up the street from a number of different music venues. So we take our kids out to see live music a lot. I don't know if the folks that are living out in Waukee or in Ankeny, where there's not a regularly easily accessible live music space that they're taking, maybe they are taking their kids. I don't know. I don't want to make judgments about that. But
the point's well taken.
Yeah, yeah.
Get your kids.
Yeah.
Take them out there.
Exactly. And or create a space to where kids can also commingle together to experience live music. So we were talking about trying to do an all ages, like specifically a show that's targeted towards teens that they can come and be around people, meet different teens from different high schools and, you know, come to a show and see live music and then see where that goes. So we're working to build that. So,
oh, I hope we can make that happen.
Yeah. 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 I think it'd be very cool.
Well, a delight to visit with you, and this is just a taste. We've got another half hour ahead I'm not sure exactly when it'll be posted, but about a week from after you're hearing this one. All right. Thank you so much,
Thank
Toby
you.
Parks.
Thank you.